Well, West Australian MP Gary Gray was also promoted into Cabinet in yesterday's reshuffle. He's inherited Martin Ferguson's portfolios of resources and energy. Business has welcomed his appointment, but the Greens say the former Woodside executive is a climate sceptic who'll favour fossil fuels over cleaner energies. I spoke with Gary Gray a short time ago. Gary Gray, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, Fran, and thank you very much.
Minister, when you entered Parliament in 2007, you gave up an executive position with the oil and gas giant Woodside. The Greens say it's not a good look that you're now the Resources and Energy Minister. Are you too close to this sector?
Well, Fran, I resigned from Woodside before I was even pre-selected by the Labor Party, and I went for the entire of the period from my pre-selection in February of 2007 until my election in November of 2007 without earning any income at all, purely campaigning. So I spent a lot of time out of the industry before even the election came along. I am close to the resources sector. That's always been clear. But Fran, if I do this job as well as it should be done for all Australians, then that knowledge, I believe, and my background should be an advantage.
Do you have any financial interest in your old company? Do you have any Woodside shares still?
No, I sold all of my Woodside shares before I was pre-selected. So not only did I resign from the company before I was pre-selected, I sold all of my Woodside shares.
Minister, relations with the resource sector have been fractured due to the mining and carbon taxes. I think that's an understatement, really. Have you had any initial discussion with the stakeholders, and how would you go about repairing this relationship?
Well, I haven't had discussions with the stakeholders about those taxes, and it's not my intention to declare open for renegotiation. Declaring things open for renegotiation only creates uncertainty and angst, and we're not about doing that.
Yet your predecessor in this portfolio, Martin Ferguson, called the mining tax a mess of the government's own making because it failed to consult with the industry. So given that, you're not going to be pushing for any change to the mining tax?
Well, Martin was the resources minister at the time of the design of the mining tax, and he had carriage of the design of the mining tax.
He's clearly blaming others for the design of the original tax in particular.
And that's not normally Martin's characteristic. Martin would normally be a man focused on outcomes and focused on work. I think Martin is, at this stage of his political career, responding more to emotion than he is to understanding that during his term as Resources Minister, he did a terrific job, has been widely applauded throughout the country and throughout the industry, and that's as it should be.
So just to be clear, you're an absolute advocate for the mining tax. You don't see any need for change?
Not only am I an advocate for the mining tax, I think to even discuss change to that tax right now would create uncertainty. I see the current tax arrangements as producing from the resources sector across Queensland, Western Australia, New South Wales, South Australia and Victoria, greater income for state governments as state royalties have gone up. The mining sector nowadays pays more to the state and federal coffers than ever before, and that's a good thing.
On that basis, on the current design of the tax, though, it's the taxpayer who's paying more because it's also compensating the miners for any state royalties they're paying under the design of the tax. Well, is that sustainable?
They are the very same taxpayers who benefit from the royalties that are paid by the industry that build roads, schools and hospitals in the state.
So you wouldn't try and close that loophole?
I don't see it as a loophole at all. I see the mining tax working with state royalties to produce on the mining sector the greatest level of contribution to our state and Commonwealth coffers that we have ever seen.
Yes, but my point is, Minister, that the miners aren't paying those royalties in effect, the taxpayer is.
Well, I think you'll find that they're actually paid by the mining companies themselves. The royalties
are reimbursed by the taxpayer.
The royalties that are paid by mining companies in Western Australia, in Queensland and in New South Wales are royalties paid by those mining companies. And that's a good thing because we're seeing the mining companies and the miners themselves paying a greater level of their own revenues to state and Commonwealth governments than ever they have paid before.
But Minister, isn't it true that under the current mining tax arrangements, the Commonwealth then reimburses the miners for those royalties?
It's true that the structure of the MRRT, which was created in 2010, not by me, but which was created in 2010, is a structure that recognises the payments to states of royalties. That was part of the agreement which Martin made when he created the original MRRT. Now, I inherit that. And I accept that today the resources sector pays a bigger contribution to state and Commonwealth revenues than ever before.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the new Resource and Energy Minister, Gary Gray. Minister, you played a lead role in identifying a future skills shortage in the resource sector of at least 15,000 tradespeople by 2015. Are you strongly in favour of importing skilled workers to fill that gap?
Where necessary, yes, but it has to be necessary. We don't simply import workers from overseas because it's the easiest thing to do. It's not. It's actually a very difficult thing to do, and we only allow the importation of skilled labour when we're satisfied that companies that wish to do that have looked hard enough and have a sufficient program in place to hire locally. And it was interesting to watch the Roy Hill project, which originally had thought it may need 1,730 workers from overseas to support its construction phase through what we call an enterprise migration agreement. And the Roy Hill project announced in February it didn't believe at that stage it needed such a vehicle. So companies, when they look at things and the labour market in Australia changes, and also we're getting a lot better now at shifting people from the East Coast into these terrific jobs in the mining industry, we find that a different market's revealing itself.
Well, the Prime Minister says that the skilled visa market, the 457 visa market, is working against jobs for Australians. She said, and I quote, foreign workers are being put at the front of the queue and Australian workers at the back. Is she right?
I think it's inevitably the case that when we have over 100,000 people in Australia on 457 visas, we have to look carefully at where and how we're allocating those visas. But I do think, too, it's necessary for us to keep the long-term goal in mind as labour productivity on our critical construction sites and ensure that we get our projects built on time and on budget. And when it comes to foreign labour, we have an attitude which gives a priority to Australian workers.
On another policy issue, you're now the Minister for Energy and Energy Efficiency as well as the Resources Minister. Gary Gray, I think we should clarify this position. Do you believe in global warming?
I've been asked about this one a lot. Yes, I do. I accept the contribution that human beings have made to the changing climate of our planet.
No ifs or buts. I mean, just to fill people in listening, the reason you've been asked about it a lot is because in the 90s you described climate science as pop science, and you're also a guest speaker at the launch of the Lavoisier Group of Climate Skeptics in May 2000. So what's made you change your mind?
Working in an oil company, and in working in that oil company, friend, as odd as it may be, I watched that company grapple on a daily, a weekly and a monthly basis in adjusting big parts of its business to understanding the impact of climate change. I've got to say that me as an economist, it really struck me and it opened my eyes, and I appreciated that experience.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. We're speaking with the new Resources and Energy Minister, Gary Gray. Gary Gray is a former National Secretary of the ALP. How do you win an election in 6 months' time when the party's primary vote is only 30%?
You know, the last time we were in this sort of situation was in late 1992, and the country had become completely fascinated by John Hewson and Fight Back. What the Labor Party did was retreat into its own core values, produce its own policy framework, and win in 1993. I am confident that the Prime Minister's strength, her values, her leadership, and the policy program of the government is exactly that kind of insightful and robust policy program that I'm looking forward to campaigning on and for as we go into the election that's due on September the 14th.
But why would voters be even prepared to listen anymore after the shambles that this government looked last fortnight?
I think it's absolutely true to say that last week was a terrible week. It was a week where the Prime Minister was forced yet again to fight for her own right to continue doing the job which she has been appointed to by two consecutive unanimous decisions of caucus. Unanimous decisions of the caucus. She was elected unopposed. And then, on a third occasion, she was elected by a record margin in the 120-year history of the Parliamentary Labor Party. I think the Prime Minister's own leadership and her strength and her unquestioned leadership at the Labor Party is a great asset for our party.
Gary Gray, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Fran, thank you.
Gary Gray is the new Resources and Energy Minister. He's also the member for the WA seat of Brand, and the Prime Minister heads to WA this morning for Community Cabinet this week.